Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 37 degrees under overcast skies. Today's Tuesday, January 24th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Sitka's Assembly will discuss changes to the city's sales tax code at tonight's regular meeting. At a budget work session earlier this month, Assembly members were presented with options, including abolishing the senior sales tax exemption in favor of a $300 rebate and raising the sales tax cap on expensive purchases. The Assembly will also revisit plans to renovate Pacific High School. At its last meeting, the Assembly rejected an early design for the high school's remodel. Some members took issue with the roof design, which they said was too flat. They were concerned about drainage in Sitka's rainy weather and asked school officials to pursue a pitched roof instead. The school district had hoped a flat roof would allow students to use the space. The move sparked heated debate among Assembly members. The item on tonight's agenda asked the Assembly to provide clear direction to the school board and the Pacific High design team. It doesn't call for the Assembly to formally approve any particular design. Also tonight, how to handle a plan to transport cruise passengers from a deepwater dock on the north end of the road system into Sitka's downtown. Assembly members approved spending some cruise ship tax money on subsidizing the transportation, but were unclear on exactly how that should be done. The meeting begins at 6 p.m. inside Harrigan Centennial Hall. Raven News will broadcast the meeting live immediately following NPR News coverage of President Obama's State of the Union address. The speech begins at 5 p.m. and local news will be heard at 4:49 this afternoon. Friends, family, and colleagues are mourning the loss of Sitka Magistrate Bruce Horton. He died last Friday after falling through the ceiling of his home while working in the attic. Horton was 62 years old. As KCAW's Ed Rocco reports, Horton is being remembered for his keen legal mind in the courtroom and his gentle demeanor off the bench.
Bruce Horton became Sitka's magistrate in 1990. Under Alaska law, a magistrate is supposed to handle everything from a dog at large ticket to the early proceedings in a homicide case, and they don't have to have a law degree, but Horton did.
He could have sat on the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court. He was that bright, that smart, that driven, that attentive.
Jude Pate is Sitka's public defender. He would appear before Horton sometimes as often as a dozen times a week. And he says Horton grew to know the community in his time on the bench. Defendants were more than a case number and a name to him. And Pate says that Horton took time to carefully explain things to people instead of simply moving them through the process. He says Horton was fearless in the courtroom, never afraid to do the right thing.
Also, stern. And that went for my clients, it went for the police, it went for me. but you need that in a courtroom. You need order. And he was not afraid to bring that.
Pate says Horton played an important role in his own development.
I did my first jury trial in front of him. I did my first evidentiary hearing. Any hearing of any significance that I've ever done, I did it first and under the guidance of Magistrate Horton. He basically helped me, made me grow up as a lawyer.
As it turns out, a lot of people have that to say about Horton, who worked as a trainer for the court system since 1994. Neil Nisham is Area Court Administrator for Southeast Alaska. He says Horton probably trained as many as 35 magistrates, ranging from Yakutat to Craig.
He really made sure that they honed their skills, and he wouldn't let them get out of Sitka unless they could prove to him that they knew what they were talking about.
He also traveled the Panhandle, visiting smaller communities and reviewing the work of magistrates that he had trained. Nisham says some of those magistrates will come to Sitka to handle Horton's docket until a new full-time magistrate can be hired. Horton's death, Nisham says, is a painful loss for a close-knit staff.
It's hard to describe in terms of how we feel because he put so much into this job and so much into his work. Nobody could possibly replace him.
Nisham says outside of the courtroom, Horton was devoted to his family and an avid outdoorsman. Dirk White would agree with that. He's been a family friend since Horton moved to town in 1990. The Whites and the Hortons have children who are close in age. And the two families spend a lot of time together, fishing, hunting, camping. White remembers Horton as an excellent cook whose work in the kitchen or at a campfire was always made to be shared.
I don't think his recipes were able to be for less than six people.
people.
Horton saw a lot of people in his day job who were having bad days. But White says the often depressing and sometimes stressful nature of Horton's work never, ever translated into his life outside the courthouse. He says Horton had a great sense of humor about life and work.
There's a thousand and one lawyer jokes, of course, and I always used to tease him about some of those things, too. And of course, before he got his LASIK surgery, he misplaced his glasses or trying to find his glasses or whatever. And I said, yeah, another case of, you know, blind justice, you know, those sorts of things. He goes, yeah, I haven't heard that one before.
The importance Horton placed on his family was not lost on those who knew him only professionally. Sitka attorney Jim McGowan says Horton was a devoted father and was crazy about his wife, September.
When I'd be in his office and a call would come through from her, he would suddenly go from being, you know, all business or all hunting, fishing kind of guy talk to just this cooing husband who was just, God, you'd think he was in high school and this was his first girlfriend. I mean, he just was crazy about that woman. It's real, real charming to see.
In addition to his wife, September, Horton is survived by two sons. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
A memorial for Bruce Horton is planned for 2 p.m. Sunday at Centennial Hall. Those wanting to help can contact Paula Clayton at 738-8236. Senator Albert Kukesh continues his focus on rural problems this legislative session. That includes a continued push for more rescue boats and improved village water systems. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld filed this report.
Albert Kukesh represents his hometown of Angoon and more than 100 other villages and small cities in Southeast, the Interior, and Prince William Sound. That's led him to push for health, safety, and infrastructure projects in rural Alaska. In Southeast, that's meant continued funding for village-based rescue boats. Several are already in place.
Well, the Angoon one recently was able to go out to the south end of Chatham and rescue a couple of people this summer, and those were brought on by the Coast Guard requesting us to do that.
He hopes to keep funding rescue boats through the capital budget. Kukesh also wants legislation creating a water and sewer task force to help rural parts of the state. Environmental Conservation Department figures show more than 6,000 homes without clean drinking water and safe sanitation.
It's really amazing to me, Ed, that in this time and place in Alaska that you have areas that don't have sewer systems and you don't have running water.
Most are in western Alaska, where Kukesh represents dozens of villages. One of the biggest issues before the legislature this session is Governor Sean Parnell's call to lower oil taxes. The House passed a measure last year, but Kukesh's chamber balked.
The Senate has a lot of concerns, and I share those concerns that we have to have a full story here before we can take some action. And you saw the outcry last year from people around the state saying, let's not give a whole bunch of money to the oil companies unless we absolutely have to.
The Angoon Democrat has several of his own bills before the legislature this year. He says one would put the state's child support practices into law.
The non-custodial parent support obligation is based solely on his or her income without regard to what the other parent makes. This bill will change that to an income shares model, which calculates support as to the share of each parent's income estimated to have been allocated to the child if the original household were still intact.
In addition to chairing the Transportation Committee, Kukesh serves on the Senate's Community and Regional Affairs Panel and its State Affairs Committee. This is Ed Schoenfeld.
Southeast Alaska saw some population growth in 2011. That's according to the Alaska Department of Labor, which released its annual estimates this month. Matt Lichtenstein reports.
The state's estimate puts the Southeast Alaska population at 73,526 people for last year. That's 1,862 more than in the 2010 federal census. The Alaska Department of Labor uses permanent fund applications for its count. According to state demographer Eddie Hunsinger, the estimate accounts for natural increases, which is the difference between births and deaths, and the natural migration of people moving into or out of an area.
So the Southeast region for 2010 to 2011, about 653 people added through natural increase, and net migration added about 1,209 people to the Southeast region. So this is definitely different than we've seen in previous years, in that we have positive net migration for the region. We're not sure that this is part of a broader trend, but it's certainly a year that's higher than we've seen in the recent past.
The Southeast population increase is just under 1.9%. That's actually a little higher than the statewide average, which is 1.7%. While the increase in the region is not dramatic, Dunsinger says it's significant in the sense that there was clearly more growth than the region has seen for a number of years.
There have been years of ups and downs. The past couple years, we had some increase. Earlier in the decade, we did have meaningful decreases for a few years there, but nothing that changed the population very dramatically. The big difference as far as allocation is that while the rest of the state was growing in many places quite a bit, Southeast was remaining about the same.
This year's boost does not have any effect on the apportionment of legislative districts, which was based on the 2010 census. As a result of those numbers, Southeast is slated to lose two of its seats in the legislature. The entire Petersburg census area, which includes Cake, Kuprinoff, and Port Alexander, saw nearly a 2.6% increase in 2011. The Prince of Wales Hyder area went up nearly 3.4%. The Sitka census area saw about a quarter of a percent growth, while Skagway and Yakutat areas each dropped by less than 0.5%. Wrangell went up about 1.2% in population. Ketchikan saw just over a percent increase. Juneau saw nearly 2.4%. Hoonah and Angoon went down by a quarter of a percent. And Haines apparently saw the biggest increase of 3.3%. For more details, you can visit the department's webpage at labor.alaska.gov. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for rain mixed with snow in the morning, little or no snow accumulation, highs around 38. And a reminder that Halibut Point Road will be closed between Marine Street and the roundabout all day today due to a broken water main. Traffic will detour on Marine and Erler Streets. This is KCAW in Sitka.